Last week, I kicked off week one and encourage you, if you haven't already heard that, to go on to any podcast platform, put in Open Arms Church, and you will see it there as the last uploaded sermon. And really setting the tone for the series and setting the foundation that we believe that God is moving. He is on the move in Ireland, in our church, in our lands, and in our lives. And it's about believing that, accepting that, and believing that God says that he will pour out his spirit, and for us preparing ourselves to receive it, to welcome it, to expect it, to enjoy it, and to really be praying for God to move in certain areas of our life. And I want to continue on from that this week, looking at one of the greatest fears that we can have in life. And that fear is FOMO. Now, I know what you're thinking already. You know, FOMO is the fear of missing out. But today I want to talk about a different FOMO. I want to talk about the fear of moving on. The fear of moving on. You see, it's the fear of moving on that causes us to miss out. It's the fear of moving on that causes us to miss out on what God has for us. It's the fear of leaving the old to step into the new. It's the fear of letting go of my old self and my old ways to take hold of what God has for me. And I believe today that God wants to remove the fear in us once and for all of moving on. That we would remove that fear and that we would be confident, secure, obedient, and trusting God to go, "Well, I'm going to move with you. I'm going to allow you not only to move in my life, I'm going to allow you to move me." Because if we believe that God is going to move like never before, then we are going to have to move like never before. Because if we want to see God do something new, that means us stepping away from the old. You know, this last week, my son Levi, my eldest boy, I got three sons, 5, 3, and 1. And my eldest boy Levi, he started school, and he started in a new school, starting senior infants. And we've been living in the city for 4 years, and as we were getting ready to plant a church, we were still there, and we just moved out to Leopardstown 6 months ago, but he was still in school just outside of the city in Ballyfermot. And he loved junior infants. It was a great thing for us. Of course, he always started off slow, but he loved it. He had so many great friends. And the last day in which all his friends and his teacher knew that they wouldn't see Levi again, they were all crying and they were emotional. They were like old men all around each other. One of his best friends gave him a photo of him and Levi together, and his teacher was crying. It was really like a special moment for us because, you know, it made a mark on him and it made a mark on them. And so we knew right throughout the summer, I'm preparing him, "Levi, you're going to start in a new school. And none of your friends will be there. And you're going to have to make new friends," and just preparing him and, you know, building him up for it. So on the first day, it was last Thursday week, and we all went together, all of us as a family. Jillian brought him in, and I said, I'll pick him up. I'm going to bring him out. We're going to have some time together. So I picked him up, and I'm waiting there for Levi to come out, like, "Hey, buddy." And he walks out like this. And he said, "No one would play with me. No one would be my friend. I just stayed outside in the yard and I stood on my own. And I wanted to break down and cry. I wanted to rip my heart out. I didn't want to kill the kids. I wanted to go, I'll play with you. Like, I'll come to school with you. I'll stand in the yard with you." And so, you know, the next day we're building, okay, this day is going to be different. It's going to be hard. And so he came out again. He's like, "No one will play with me. No one wants to be my friend." And we went through the weekend back on Monday. And he came out again. And he kept asking the question. He said, "Why can't I go back to my old school? Why did we have to move? Why did you move me from that school to this school?" Now, I'll be honest with you. I was starting to question, going, should we have moved him? Should we have allowed him to settle in where we were, in where he was? Should we have just let him stay where he was? You know, the truth is, for all of us, we all have the tendency to go back to the old. We all have the tendency to stay where we are and not move on, not move forward, out of fear of standing into the new. Stepping into the new is an unsafe place. It is a lonely place. It is uncomfortable. It is scary. leaving somewhere, leaving yourself, leaving your old self and the way you live and the way you think and the way you've always lived to step into something new. You see, here's the truth. The truth is, if we're not willing to move on, we'll never be able to move in to where God is bringing us. If we're not willing to let go, we'll never be able to grasp what God has for us. We'll never be able to take hold of what God has for us. And I believe today that God wants to remove that fear not of the old, but the fear of wanting to be in the old. The fear of, as we take one uncomfortable step forward, we want to immediately go back. The tendency for all of us is to go back. But the truth is, if we don't live here, we'll never get there. You know, so we go through this, and it was the last day. I was like, okay, we're going to pray, Levi. I'm going to pray with you. I was afraid that Jesus is with you. He loves you. You got to be confident. We played this confidence song from Psalm 27. It says, I will be confident. And I sat on there and I said, Levi, said, this is your new school. And you've got to make friends, because it is hard. It is difficult, but you're going to learn from this. And here's the thing. God is with you, and you can do it. And so that day later on, Jillian calls me up. I was in work in the afternoon, and she said, Levi wants to talk to you. And he said, Daddy, I made 4 new friends. And I love this school. And he's, from that day onwards, he's like a different kid. He loved it. But if we don't leave the old, we'll never be able to step into the new. If our tendency is to keep going back and we allow ourselves to keep going back, we'll never be able to move forward. If our tendency is to hold on, to grasp everything out of fear that if we let it go, well then maybe we won't be able to control what's next. And God says, release. God says, move on. God says, let go. God says, you need to leave the old to step in to where I'm bringing you to. Now, I want to illustrate this in scriptures by looking at a portion of scripture found in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And the scripture is going to come up on the screen also. And Joshua, the book of Joshua, is the 6th book in the Old Testament. And really, it follows the story of Exodus and the story of the Israelites, where Moses leads the Israelites out of Egypt through the Red Sea towards the promised land, in which God gave the promise to their forefathers, Abraham, the father of our faith, that you're going to step into a new land that's going to be yours. So Moses, he leads the Israelites out of slavery, out of captivity, to the promised land. And here we see in Joshua chapter 1 verse 1, we see something significant happen. It says that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. So this is God's conversation with Joshua. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. And no one, this is a promise for us to hold on to, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise from God for us. Moving is scary, but with God, you can do it. Because he says, I am with you. I have gone before you. I will be with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. But I want to turn our attention to God's conversation with Joshua. And his command to Joshua is this. Now then, get ready to cross. He's saying, it's time to move. It's time to leave where you are and to step into the new. It's time to let go of the old and to take hold of what is new. Now, what is incredible about this portion of scripture, and I've preached on it before, but what I saw in this is something new. It's not what's really happening in the moment, but what has been happening before the moment. the pretext of this, the build-up to this, because how many of us know in life we may come to a moment, but it's the moments that came before it that led us to this moment. And what's incredible is that 40 years previous to this moment, the Israelites were here in this place, and God was giving them, the Israelites, the promised land. They were here in this moment, ready to step into what God was giving them. So they decided, well, before we take hold and step into what God has for us, why don't we gather some people and survey the land? Why don't we test the waters? Why don't we see what it's like? And so they gathered 12 of their key people from the 12 tribes of Israel. They sent them out into the land, and they went out and they saw the land and they came back. And the report was this: it is amazing, but it is going to be so difficult that we're not sure if we can do it. How many of us have said that about the next step? I feel like God's in it. It looks like it's going to be amazing, but it may not pay off. It looks like it could be the next step, but it looks like it's also going to be the most difficult thing I will ever do in my life. And so out of the 12 spies, 10 of them said, we don't know if we can do this. Unbelief began to rise up in the camp. And what happened is the Israelites, as they heard this report, they began to respond with this: we want to go back. We want to go back to what we knew. They began questioning Moses as the leader, saying, why did we move? Why did we leave? We knew when we were there how things were. We were secure there, even forgetting that they were slaves, whipped, beaten. But yet they had glamorized their previous life because they knew. They knew that life. How many of us have glamorized the old and glamorized our old life, when in reality, if we were to put our mirror up to it and replay it, we see there was no glamour in it whatsoever. And so the Israelites, what happened is that God made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years because they became an unbelieving generation. The lesson that we can learn from this is that unbelief leads us to never take hold of what God has for us in stepping into the promise. Unbelief and not willing to leave the old and step into the new causes us to wander aimlessly and hopelessly around life, where it will feel like we're wandering in the wilderness. It feels like we're just going around in circles, but we're never going anywhere because we've allowed unbelief to lead us to that place. If we're not willing to move out and to move on, the result is that we will miss out. You see, the Israelites, they were there in that moment, 40 years previous to Joshua chapter 1. They could see the promise. They could see what was before them. They could see the land in which they could have stepped into, but they never seized the promise. They never took hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of them. How many of us, we may be able to see the goodness of God, but have we seized it? Has we grasped it? We may have heard the promises of God, but have we followed it, believed in it, lived it out? That when we faced opposition, we said, regardless of what I face, because I see what is forward, I see where God is leading me, I see where God is calling me, and it may feel like the enemies are rising up against me. It may feel like on every side the enemy is surrounding me, but I believe that there is a greater God who has surrounded me. There is a greater God who has covered me, and though unbelief may rise up within me, faith will take hold of my spirit. Faith will take hold of my heart. Faith will lead me into the place of the unknown. Faith will lead me into the place where I may not know if I'm going to make it, but I believe that God has called me. And so therefore, he says that he will never leave me nor forsake me. Are you with me today? You see, only two out of the 12 had faith. Two people out of the entire generation, Joshua and Caleb. And here we see, 40 years later, only two people out of that entire generation are alive. And here they are, standing in this moment. Well, the difference is now they have belief. They have faith. They're believing God has said it, it will be so. And we see, firstly, before they could step into where God was bringing them, a significant moment happens. The very first words in the book of Joshua, the very first words in which God says to Joshua is this: Moses is dead. This represented the end of an era. Moses' death represented the death of the unbelieving generation. And here's what I felt God give me to you, for you today. Something has to die in you in order to birth new life. Something has to die in you before new life can be birthed in you. You see, in all of us, we have to die to ourselves. Christianity is all about dying. Christianity is all about death, because before new life can happen, death has to happen. To die to myself, to die to the way I want it and the way I want to do it, to die to my selfish ways, and rather to place my faith in Jesus Christ and say, I'm going to follow your ways. I want to see your will done in my life. I'm going to surrender all so that I can follow you. I'm going to pick up my cross and walk. I'm going to pick up a life of sacrifice, service, obedience. Hey, we never hear those words in the world, do we? You never hear, you know, if you want to make it, you need to die. That wouldn't sell well. I don't think that would do well. That wouldn't go down well. If you want to make it in life, well, then you need to live a life of obedience and sacrifice and surrender. You see, it's not about getting there your way. It's about getting where God is leading you, his way. And you know what? It's not even about getting there. It's about the journey. It's about as we walk, as we're dying to ourselves continually, every single day. We're going to be dying to our habits. Dying to the old ways that we've always done it. Dying to our old way of thinking. The old man that's in us, as Scripture talks about. The old self, where we need to die, where there's a new creation inside of us. We become a new creation found in Christ Jesus. But that can only happen when we leave here. It can only happen when we leave the old. It can only happen, maybe you're not a 5-year-old boy leaving one school to go to another. But maybe you're a 25-year-old man who has to leave the way in which maybe your parents have forged for you, and you need to step into your own man in your own way to go where God has for you. Maybe you've been in the same old stagnant relationships that have been just causing you just to stay confined to the way you are, and you need to break out and you need to find new friends. Maybe you've been in the same mundane, mediocre living life the same way every single time. And God says you need to leave that to step into what I'm bringing you to. Why do you need to die? What needs to die in you? Why do you need to say to Jesus, Jesus, kill this in me? Because every time that you lead me down this path, I allow myself to be distracted and deterred and diverted. What needs to die in you? Because the old must die for the new to begin. And we see these words, Moses is dead. The unbelieving generation is dead. There's no more future for them. Their legacy is finished. Their legacy is left behind. And this is what is so sad. Their potential was buried in the ground in the wilderness rather than being planted in the promised land. Their lives could have been planted in the promised land, bearing great fruit, rising up a new generation, said, we've gone this far, you can go so much further. But rather, they allowed their lives to just be buried in the wilderness. Their potential was buried in the wilderness. Let's live lives where we do not have to bring potential with us, but we give everything in this life. That we save nothing for the next life. That we give every single ounce of us. That we give every single strength of us for others and not just for ourselves. Let's live lives for others and not just for me. Let's live lives where we forge the way so that others may go further, faster than we've ever gone before. Hey, if you're in this room and you're over the age of 50, I'm sure you've been sick of saying the best is yet to come. You know, you're probably sick of saying you've got potential in your life because you're already probably really like, I wish I could see that lived out. But maybe your potential is to be planted in the life of another rather than being buried in the ground. Maybe your potential is to be planted where it's about someone else rather than it's being about you. Maybe the legacy that you could leave behind is rather lifting someone else up so that they may stand on your shoulders so they may see further, go faster, and go farther than you've ever gone before. Moses is dead. The old way of doing it is over. It's time to step into the new. It's time to move on. And what we see next happen is these words, now then. You see, God was rising up a new generation. He's rising up the next generation with a leader of God to lead them to move. And God says, now then, get ready. It's time to move. Prepare yourself. Prepare your life. Remove your sin. If you've got sin in your life, well, it needs to be revealed so you can lead to repentance, which leads to forgiveness. Because we got to leave the old way behind so that we can step into the new. He says, leave the dead. It's time to pursue new life. You see, to move, you need to let things die. You need to remove those things that are dead in you, to remove them for your life so that you can see new life in you. Sin must die in you if salvation and freedom is to take root in you. Unbelief must die in you if faith is going to lead you into your future. Insecurity and inadequacy must die in you if you're going to boldly become who Christ has called you to be. Small-mindedness must die in you if you're going to have vision for your life. Selfishness and control must die in you if you're going to live a large and generous life. Dishonor and pride must die in you if you're going to see your dreams come to pass. For God says, the promise is freely given. But to see it come to pass, there's a price to pay. You see, God's promise is for all. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many begin, fewer finish. Many start off, and they fall along the way. The promise is before us. We can see it. But to seize it, to grasp it, to take hold of it, there's going to be a price. There's going to be sacrifice. You know, I felt like God say for us as a people that he's going to move. But I never took into consideration the cost of moving. You ever moved house? It is costly. It is up there with one of the highest stresses in life, along with having a baby and losing your job. And not only then the fear and the stress of having to do public speaking. There's a cost of moving from one place to another. There's a price to pay. It is costly. And the move of God is costly when it happens in your life. Because we cry out for a move of God, but a move of God does not look in how we want it to look often. Because he's got to remove things in us. He's got to reveal things in us. He's going to take out of those things in us that we cannot carry into the next day. He's to remove those old ways in us that we're saying, God, I want you to do a new thing. I want you to fulfill this promise. I want the dreams and desires of my heart to come to pass. And he says, okay, things have got to die. Things have got to go. You've got to throw out some things in your life so that you can make way and make space for God to give you something new. Verse 2 says, now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. That is a promise from God. He will give us every place where we set our foot. See, God has promised for us that he is moving, he is on the move, and he will move. He will move in your life, in your household, in your marriage, in your family, in your community, in your workplace, in your place of education. He will move. That's his promise. You with me on that? Do you believe that? Is that faith rise in your heart going, okay, God's going to move. But here's the hard part as a pastor that I felt God say to me to give to you. Some of you won't make it because you're not willing to die. Some of you won't make it because you've allowed fear to grip you so much. The fear of moving on, you've allowed yourself to keep staying in the old. Some of you won't make it because you're not willing to remove. Some of you won't make it because you're not willing to give up the old. But here's the gospel of good news. Is that hope is here for today. God's mercies are new every day. You see, giving our lives to Jesus begins realizing that we are sinners and that we won't make it. And some of you won't make it if you're not willing to die unless you say, I'm willing to give it all for him. Unless you're willing to say, today, I'm going to stop. Today, I'm going to surrender. You see, there's an opportunity today. An opportunity to surrender. To allow Jesus to kill those things that need to die before they kill the promise that God placed on your life. Let me ask you today, what needs to die in you this morning? What needs to die in you? Is it the reliance on where you are? Is it the safety of your present? What needs to die in you? What have you got the tendency to keep coming back to be drawn to the old? What do you need to offer up to Jesus right now and say, remove this from me. Kill this in me before it kills me. Because I know the promises God has for my life. I know the plans he has for my life. He says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. This day in which I'm in, which may feel like a day of defeat, it will not define me, it will not end me. But I'm going to decide to die to myself for Christ to become alive in me. I'm going to choose to allow this die in me so that new life can be made way. New life can give birth. New hope, new confidence, a new faith, a new boldness, a new trust. That God has called me, he is with me, and he says that he will never leave me nor forsake me. Something may arise in you that has been dying to get out of you. Something may arise in you where you become a new man, a new woman, a new creation that's not so fixated on yourself, but fixated on Jesus Christ. That's fixated on loving Jesus and loving others. But it begins with removing the fear of moving on. Because if we're not willing to move on, the truth is that we will miss out on what God has for us. We will miss out on the good days that are ahead. We may say that the best is yet to come, but unless we believe that my better days are ahead of me, it begins with today, removing the old. To step into the new. Hey, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes right now? I know that this is challenging, but often great change starts with a great challenge. Often great things begins with old things being removed. Where in your life do you need to make way for God to move? What is it? Who is it? Where is it that you need to move on from? You know, our natural tendency, everything in me, when I see my little boy say, I'm lonely and no one wants to play with me, I go, well, let's homeschool you. I'll play with you. I'll provide a safe space so that you don't have to go through that. That's not love. That's control. Rather, love is pushing ourselves, pushing our loved ones, and saying, you can do it. Because God is with you, and He's in this with you. And it's going to be painful. It's going to be hard. It may even be devastating. But God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God says His promises will come to pass, but not before we move on. Not before we let go. Not before we leave. Hey, with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, I know there's many of us here today that you need to begin by giving your life to Jesus. And just right now in this moment, I believe that Jesus is saying to you, step out. Take the challenge. He wants to be in relationship with you. Will you surrender? Will you give Him all? So right now, with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you that opportunity. And what I'm going to ask to do in a moment, I'm going to count to three and just ask that if you believe that, you want to take that step and give your life to Jesus, just raise your hand and where you are. And we're going to just pray together and believe in your heart, you're giving your life to Jesus. Really, it's a simple, natural sign of surrender, but also it's the most significant and supernatural thing that you can ever do. It's a moment in your life where the old is dead so that the new can begin. The old self is gone. So now you can be found in Jesus Christ. So right now, make that decision. After three, just raise your hand with me and say, I'm giving my life to Jesus. After one, two, three, just raise your hand and where you are, say, I'm giving my life to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Is anyone else here today? Thank you. Come on, let's everyone together just pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I'm leaving the old behind. And I'm placing my faith in you. I give you my life. I give you everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God glory this morning. Just thank Him for what He's done, for what He's doing. Hey, the worship team are going to come forward. Why don't we just stand? We've got a few moments together. I just want to really encourage you tonight. It's going to be about just leaving space and leaving room. I know it's like you got busy schedules and don't feel under any pressure whatsoever to have to come or anything. But really, tonight is about making way and making room and making space. But the truth is, you can do that on your own, in your home. But there's something powerful about community together. And every morning I get up on Sunday morning and I drive and go and collect my father-in-law and come back. And it's just a great opportunity to leave space for myself in a car and play some worship music. And this morning, I just felt like God speaking to me about this message and how I never want to paint a picture that life is this great thing that you, if you work hard enough, you try hard enough, you'll seize it and you'll get there. That's not the gospel. But life is a battle. In fact, life is a series of battles. I remember reading a few years ago, about 7-8 years ago, I was beginning out my ministry and full-time ministry, and I read this great book by a great man, and it had this line in it. It said, life is a battle, but we should not just survive the battle. We should thrive in life. You know, I held on to that, and I applied that, and it disappointed me every time. Because I felt like it was the hardest thing in life to survive. I could never get to thrive. I felt like surviving is all that I could do. And I believe that that was a lie that I believed. Because I've found this. The life is not just about surviving. Life is about helping others to survive. Life is about helping others. Life is about loving others. Because I'm in the battle. I'm going through the battle. That's set. So maybe I can help others to learn from where I've been. Maybe I can help others to survive in the battles that they're in. Because there is people in our lives, in our communities, who feel like they are not surviving. Who feel like they can't make it. And you're making it by the skin of your teeth. You're making it just about. But maybe you're making it that you can help others to make it. Maybe surviving in life is all that God's calling us to. Maybe that's thriving. I don't know. But maybe today you feel like you're just surviving, and I just want to say, well done. You've made it. This is it. You've been obedient. God says at the end of our days, but I believe he doesn't just wait until the end of our days. He says it today, well done, my good and faithful servant. You are trusted. You are obedient. You survived. You made it. You didn't give in. You didn't give up. You kept going to the end. And that's what I feel God says. Just keep going. Just keep walking. It's a walk of obedience. It's a step by step, little by little. As we move, God's moving. But we need to move. We need to keep moving forward. We need to keep moving on. So right now, would you just close your eyes? If you feel comfortable, just raise your hands to heaven. And God, I pray right now, would you move in us? God, would you allow that confidence to rise in us, that faith to rise in us to say, okay, maybe this life is not about reaching somewhere, getting somewhere, becoming someone, but being someone, being found in Jesus Christ in the image and likeness and being transformed more and more every single day into the image and likeness of Christ.